It's good to see you all out this morning. We do appreciate you very much. I was thinking what Joseph said, if you can turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. I was thinking about the uncertainty of life. And there's not very many weeks will go by that I don't think about a good friend of mine. It's been about a year or so now. And even sometimes I'll go by the place where he had passed away and think about it and see pictures of him. Think, man, he was a lot younger than I, but we started a small business together and years ago, and he was a good friend, good person, and it's just hard to imagine sometimes. And it's funny, what got my mind thinking on it was what Joseph had said. Sometimes we say, you know, man, they died way too young, or they died prematurely, or whatever. No, they died when they were supposed to die. And we don't understand it, can't wrap our minds around it sometimes, and you know, but the thing that brings more peace than anything else is knowing that God is in control, knowing that he is the one that's working the timetable. He is the one that has made the right decision when I make the wrong ones. He is the one that does what is right. So I trust in him. And that's what we want to talk about this morning, trusting and honoring God. And I want to look at Proverbs 3, and I'm not sure how far we will go with that. We'll probably be looking at it again tonight and possibly Wednesday night. Yeah, you guessed it. You're stuck with me, so hang in there. But I've got some things that I want to point out. I've got five different questions I want to look at and want to answer with these things, and so you'll be much in prayer about that. The Word of God is so important to us that are saved, isn't it? You say, why is that? Because it's everything. It's everything to us. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I've hinged my eternity on what this book tells me. I have sunk my whole heart into everything that is within the pages of this book, and I believe every word of it to be true. Amen. And you know what I've come to find out? If when this life is over, however I know it to be true, and I know heaven is real, I know there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, I know it to be true, because I know it because he lives in my heart. But if it were not, if it was even a possibility that it were not, this is still the best life to live. It's still way, way better, because I've been on both sides of the fence. I've been just as honored as a striped rattlesnake, and I know what it's like to not necessarily be a perfect individual, but I know what it's like to be saved by the grace of God. I know what it's like for those things and desires that we once had to leave us and to not be a victim of them anymore. So we find out here that he says this. We find out in the book of Proverbs, no doubt Solomon writing into us, and he tells us this. He says, my son, he says, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Verse 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Verse 5, you can read it with me if you're there. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Let's read verse 6. And in all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health unto thy navel and marrow unto thy bones. As we look at this this morning, I was thinking about wisdom. I had an individual say one time, and I thought, well, for someone that is probably lack of learning and isn't very intelligent, I thought that's a pretty good way of putting it. So maybe it'll be simplified enough that you can get what I'm saying. And that is, wisdom can, knowledge can take a motor apart, but it takes wisdom to put it back together. That make sense? Good. There for a second, Shannon got it. Nobody else did. Knowledge can look at a cake, but wisdom can put all the ingredients together and make it taste right. I don't know. How's that? My point is this, that, you know, we're looking at wisdom this morning and about, you know, we're living in a world and a time where everybody, it seems like, you know what, very few people aren't wise, so they think. They think they have the knowledge of all kinds of things and they have wisdom, but you know, I'm not talking about the wisdom of this world. I'm talking about the wisdom of God. I'm talking about a right relationship with God. Listen to what the Psalmist said. Listen to what, not necessarily the Psalmist, but Solomon himself is saying here. He says, "My son, forget not my law." Here's the thing that I want to ask this morning, starting question one, is what will guarantee me life? Joseph talked about life and us being dead, those that are not saved today, and us that were when, a time when we was not saved. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. But what gave us life, and what will give you life this morning? Here's another question. How can I live a life where I am truly satisfied? Let me ask you and pause for just a moment. Have you ever recognized a time when it seems like nobody is satisfied with anything? They're not satisfied with nothing. Why is that? Well, we're gonna mention some things here this morning that will help us understand that I can not only have life and to be alive spiritually, but Jesus said he came to give life and to give it what? More abundantly. How can I have an abundant life? How can I be alive in Christ Jesus? How can I be satisfied? Well, I'm going to tell you this. If your life is in Christ Jesus, you should be satisfied. And if you're not, then I'm going to tell you this. You're out of the will of God. If you're not satisfied with your relationship with God, then friend, you need to work on that, because you're not going to be satisfied with anything else, no matter what you do. So we find out here, so what is that? How do we find the answers to those questions, and what? How can we know this to be true? Well, he says this, and we'll read it in the NLT. He says, "My son, never forget the things I have taught you." When he talks about not my law, he's talking about the word, the commandments, the word of God. He's saying, don't forget what I have taught you. Don't forget the word of God, the most invaluable, most important thing that has ever been given to this world is Jesus Christ in the flesh and his word. You know what? He came and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, as the scriptures tells us. You know what? And here's the thing about it. It is the word. Why is that? Because it is the word of God that changes people's lives. I can have conversations with people and I can tell them what I think. I can tell them my opinion about things. We can have deep conversation. They can read book after book. They can read after great theologians. But listen to me. When a life is changed, it is because of the Word of Almighty God. It is the Spirit of God takes the Word of God, and the Word of God begins to pierce man's heart. And when he pierces man's heart, you know what he does? The Spirit of God begins to work with them. And you know what they realize? They then are left with a decision. Do I accept Christ? Do I believe what is troubling my heart? Or do I reject that? It's very simple. And you know what we realize? We realize many say, you know what? They have been deceived by the enemy, and they say, you know what? I can wait another day. Listen, friend, you may not have another day. But here's the thing. Let's not get off track, and that is this. The most important thing is the Word of God, and true wisdom comes from those who know where it comes from, and that is not only the Word of God, but they embrace it. You know what? They realize, they say, you know what? It has done not only changed my life, but it is everything to me. And therefore, they embrace it. And he says, don't forget it. Don't forget it. You know what? He says this. He says the things that I've taught you. And here's what he says. Store my commandments in your heart. If you do this, listen to what it says. You will live many years and your life will be satisfying. You say, now, hold on a minute, Todd. I know some good Christians that have died at a young age. So have I. Don't mistake this for necessarily longevity, meaning of life, meaning for a long time. Don't exclude it either. But what I am saying is this, you know what I do know? I know that the day that Christ moved into my heart, I know the day that the things that I had heard from the Word of God, the Spirit of God took it, he pierced my heart, and when he pierced it and I believed it, you know what I realized? That moment I was given eternal life. I have eternal life today in Jesus Christ and in him alone. I'm going to tell you something else. As the more that I adapt to that, the more that I embrace that, the more that I study the Word of God, the closer that I become to God, the closer that I get to God, the more I am satisfied. The less that it takes to satisfy me. You know what? There was a time that I thought, and get this, and I'm being serious. My life was upside down. If our house wasn't clean, the vehicles wasn't clean, if this wasn't done, if that wasn't done, and all these things had to be done. And nowadays they call it, you know what? You're what's it called? Where you've got to have everything just right. What is it called? OCD. That's what they call it today. Well, I just caught somebody that's never satisfied. You know what today? The longer I've walked with the Lord, the longer I'm with him, you know what? I don't think I've got one clean vehicle. And you come up to our house last night, and after that party Katie threw, it'll be another week before that thing's clean. and it don't matter to me not one bit. I'm satisfied in the Lord in all things. In Him, everything, there is nothing in my life that I could say I am unsatisfied with, except maybe one, and that is that I want to get closer to Him. I'm never satisfied where I'm at in my relationship with the Lord. I always want to get closer, but I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you that He has got to be the center of everything. If one desires to be wise and to make it in this wicked and cruel world and have life and have it more abundantly, and they want to know what it's like to be satisfied in the world that has so many things to offer them, then I'm going to tell you this, they're only going to do that in Jesus Christ. That's the only way. The only way they're going to do that is to embrace the Word of God, believe the Word of God, accept the Word of God, and allow it to be entirely a part of not only just a part, but not just a part, but to control their life entirely. What does the Word of God teach us? He tells us here, He says this, He says not to forget it. He tells us to what we're to do with it. He says we're to have it and we're to keep it and embrace it. He says this, He says, let not loyalty and kindness, here's what it teaches us in verse 3. He says this, never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them upon the table of your heart. Never let, in the King James Version it tells us this, never let mercy and truth forsake thee. Mercy and truth is simply this. Never let loyalty and never let kindness leave you. Now, how do I do that? You say, what are you getting at, Todd? I'm not quite getting what you're saying. I'm saying that when you and I look into the light of the Word of God, it teaches us loyalty, it teaches us kindness. What does that mean? That means as I look back on the Word of God, as I listen to its teachings, as I allow the Spirit of God to take the Word of God and work in my heart, you know what? It causes me to be alive. It gives me life. Not only that, but along with it, it tells us this. It is teaching me how to live my life. How do I live my life? I live my life, first of all, I live it faithfully and committed unto the Lord. That's the first thing. Loyalty is this. It is commitment. It is being committed. We have talked about that several times in our class. Seems like nobody's committed anymore. They're not committed in their marriages. They're not committed on their jobs. They're not committed to this or to that. And sadly, but true, some people aren't even committed to the Lord. But listen to me. If I want to grow in my relationship with the Lord, I want to experience what it's like to be satisfied in a world that has thousands of things to offer and from day to day could change. And I could like one thing this day and something else the next day. If I want to live in a world like that and be satisfied, then here's what I've got to understand. The Word of God has got to mean everything to me. It's got to be everything. It's got to be my all in all. It's got to be something that I not only embrace it, but here's the thing. I not only embrace it, but I live it. Amen. I live it. I stay committed, not only here, I stay committed on the job. I stay committed at home. I stay committed when nobody's around, when nobody's looking. I stay committed. And committed to what? Committed to God Almighty and my relationship with Him and knowing what He expects from me and knowing what He wants for my life and desiring those very things that He expects of my life, desiring those things and seeking after Him. No matter what, we stay committed. And through that, I will tell you this. You know what you will be? You will not, I'll tell you what you will not be. You will not be an unkind, you will not be a bitter individual. You won't be. You know what you will be? You'll be kind. Now you're saying, Todd, well, there's days that I get up, well, let's just stop it there because I've got them too. You can ask my boys, I'm not always that kind. But here's the thing, in the sphere of our life, we are kind individuals. What is kindness? Kindness cares about others. They care about the needs of others. They care about, they're not blind to the fact that when they see somebody else hurting, they care. They reach out and help. They do what they can when they can. They're an individual that, you know what, it's not all about themselves, but they are an individual that says, you know what, they're an individual that wants to help. And you say, how is that even possible? Well, here's the thing. Humanity within themselves, that is not a nature of just humanity. I will tell you this, it is a nature of someone who believes the Word of God, someone who has accepted the Word of God, and someone who is committed to the work of God. someone who has committed their life unto him and says, I love him more than anything. Well, here's the next question is this. He tells us, Solomon does, to write these things. He tells us to write them upon the table, bind them like a necklace around our neck and write them upon the table of our heart. Well, how do we do such a thing? And what is he getting at? What does he mean when he says that? And what is it telling us? Well, here it is. Binding them about our neck symbolizes making these virtues a prominent and visible part of one's life. Listen carefully. To be carried and displayed in interactions with others. You know what I want? I'll pause there just for a moment. Had an individual tell me the other day, and please don't mistake what I'm saying as if I'm bragging by any means. That is not my intent, none whatsoever. But she made the comment, said, was your ears burning yesterday? And I said, no. She said, well, we were talking about you. I said, uh-oh. She said, no, it was good. We was talking about how nice that you are. And I told her, I said, you know, I've said before, and I mean it with everything in me. I want anybody that knows me, if a question is ever asked to them, what's the nicest person you've ever met in your life? I want to be the first one that comes to their mind. I want to be somebody that they recognize, and you know what? Because here's the thing. If they can understand, how in the world could you be nice when somebody acted that way or somebody done this? How could you be kind to people that done this? Then I could say, you know what? Because of Jesus Christ. It ain't me. It's nothing within me. I've done no good. There's nothing within me at all. You take away Christ, and I'm the vilest sinner you'll ever meet. But I'm going to tell you what, through him, praise God, I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. I've been washed by the red royal blood. That old nasty black sin, when Christ moved in, he washed it with his red royal blood. And I guess what? I'm as white as snow in the sight of Almighty God. How is that possible? Because Jesus at Calvary. Jesus at Calvary, through his word, through accepting his word, believing his word, and knowing that it is true. What else can we say? That is as a resemblance, as we would think about the necklace. He says, tie it about thy neck. It would be about like a necklace. Not only would it be a reminder to you and your behavior as you go out into the world, but the world also could see that. What's the next part? He talks about writing it upon the table of thine heart. We also understand it is to be a constant reminder to live in the principles of kindness and truth. Live in the principles of kindness and in truth. No matter what. Last part is this, the virtues of mercy and truth are central to God's character. Why would I live in such a way? Well, let me tell you something. If that's not your lifestyle, then likely you don't know who God is. Because that is who God is. God is kind. God is truthful. God can be trusted. Everything that God says, I struggle with someone who is a compulsive liar that tells me they know Christ. I'd have to say I can't agree with you. I can't agree with you. Why is that? Because that's not who God is. And if he lives in our heart, then our character ought to be of God. A wise person, again talking about wisdom, lives in alignment with God's nature. How? By embracing and embodying these qualities. They matter more than anything else. They matter to me. And you know what I know? If you're saved today, they matter to you. Being kind and being truthful matters to you more than anything else. There's been times that I have been ugly, and you know what? I didn't like it. It wasn't long after being ugly that I've went back and either apologized or been very troubled about it and asked the Lord to forgive me. I don't like that. Why is that? Because, oh, Todd, you're such a great guy. No, because Christ lives in my heart. That's not who we are. That's not how we behave. That's not how we act. That's not what we do. Here's the next thing. How can I be sure? The next question that I have is, how can I be sure of anything? Well, verses 5 and 6 will tell us that. And there's three simple things. I'm going to read these to you quickly. 5 and 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. How can I know anything? How can I be sure of anything? There's three simple things. Here it is. Number one, trust in the Lord with your entire heart. You say, what does that mean? Well, does it mean that I come before God and I say, Lord, I believe you and I trust you, and then I go on about my day and I try to figure everything out? No. Does it mean that when things come along that I don't understand that it's okay for me to sit and wring my hands and I'll occasionally throw it out there to God in hopes that he'll just hear me and maybe he'll just respond, but I still got to try to figure it out? No, that's not it either. When it says trust, it means you rely upon God, here it is, at all times and for all things. All the time and at all for everything, no matter what it is. No matter what it is, and no matter what's going on, you rely on him. Relying means you're leaning upon him. You're trusting upon him. It doesn't mean that you understand. It doesn't mean that you've got a pass to, I got a light year. I've got a way of figuring out what's going to happen before it comes, and so therefore that puts me at ease. No, you don't get that, nor do I. What it does mean is this. It means, God, I believe your word so much. I am so convinced. I am so sold out that your word is so true because I have seen it change my life. Hallelujah. I have seen it change me in more ways than one. Not only from sinner to saint. Yeah, I said it. A saint. Why is that? Not because I'm perfect, because I'm a child of God. And guess what? You're a saint too. You say you don't know me, and you don't know me either. But if Christ lives in our hearts, we're saints today. Amen. But not just from that, but he has changed me so much in my relationship with him. As I have walked these many years with him, oh, my behavior as a young Christian is so different today than what it was then. My thoughts then are so much different than they are now. They are completely different. Why is that? Because we come to trust the Lord with every passing year, with every passing day, with every passing moment. You know what I have come to do? I have come to trust him more and more and more and more and more. I have thought about some, and I was thinking just a little while ago this morning, and I thought, you know, Sunday night we didn't have service. And then Wednesday night we got a call, emergency call for an elderly fella that his water line had busted. It was just shooting out of his house. He needed help getting it shut off. So he wasn't able to make it. And you know what? To make it to this morning was a real struggle for me. Because I thought, man, I feel like I have been gone forever. I don't understand how anybody could stay absent from church all the time. I just don't get it. And then claim Christ. I'm not saying they're not saved. What I'm saying is this, that you know what? I long to be around God's people. I long to be near him. I long to listen to his word. I long to hear the songs that sing of the glory of God. And why is that? Because Christ lives in me. That's why. And because he lives in you. So we find out here, here's the things, not only that, we trust him with all of our heart. Here's the second one. Don't depend on your own understanding. Don't rely on yourself. You say, now hold on just a minute. You mean I should just get up each day and not do anything? God's going to take care of it all. You know better than that, so do I. God gave his minds to use common sense, and even though I ain't got much, he expects me to use as much as I can. Grant tells me I ain't got any. But anyhow, the thing of it is this, me and Sam don't think that's funny. He tells Sam that too. Sam's sitting back here. Anyway, but the thing of it is this, we can't rely and depend on ourselves. I can't. I've told you this story I don't know how many times, and they don't know. And nobody really on our crew knows. They have no idea how many times they've called me to the table for a question and something they couldn't figure out and didn't know. And on my way to them, I'm asking God for wisdom because I don't know either. And somehow, God does what he always does. And I like one of these times it'd be through me, but maybe before I die he will. But usually it's through one of them. It just, there it is. It comes together. They figure it out. And you know what? God does what he always does. I have learned to trust him in absolutely every aspect of my life. Whether it is on the job, whether it is when I get a call, I don't know how many times immediately and sometimes, and I've often wondered, why, God, why have you put me in the position you put me in? This is not me. This is not what I asked for. This is not what I want. But you know what it has taught me? It has taught me that in a spur of a moment that I just lean on God, just trust him. When something is brought to my attention, when something happens that could turn my world upside down or things that I've got to come up with an answer for, just like that, you know what I do? I lean on him. It has taught me to lean on him more than anything else in my life. Where he has got me at today has caused me to do that more than anything I've ever been through. to trust him for answers, trust him to lead me, trust him to guide me. And you know what he has done? He has done that faithfully every day. And you know what I know? I know he'll continue to do that. How do you know that? Because he loves me. I don't understand why, but I know this, he loves you too. You say, but Todd, you don't know me. Don't need to. God loves you. Last thing is this, we'll cover this and be done. Why is it important? And what is the results when he mentions here the next few verses of fearing and reverencing the Lord and shunning and turning away from evil? Let's read those quickly. He says 7 and 8. He says this, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. What does he mean? Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. You figure when something comes to light and you think that you've figured it out and you're able to do that, listen to me, my friend, give God all the glory because it is of him. It isn't you. It's him. Amen. Not only that, we find out, he says this, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, do this. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Let me say it like this. Don't work tirelessly to show and to have wisdom of this world and for everybody to look at you and say, oh, how wise they are, or how much, or what they've accomplished, or what they've achieved. No, let the greatest thing in your life be this. Let it be this. You reverence God and you shun evil. Do it. Do it. And you'll find out this. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. You know what it does for you? It causes you not only to be alive spiritually, but it gives you strength for the journey. Amen. It talks about, when it talks about navel, it's talking about as if a baby, you know what, as the baby is hooked to the mother through the umbilical cord and gets its food and gets its nutrients and what it needs to give it life, this is where we get our life. Not only that, but it talks about into the bones, marrow to the bones, that's strength. You know where we get the strength? Right here. You know where we get the wisdom that we need, not of this world? Right here. How do we do that? Not by focusing on us, but by focusing on God. Turning our attention unto him. Acknowledging evil for what it is evil. And when we acknowledge it, we turn from it. We say, I don't want that in my life. I don't want to be a part of that. That is not me. You know what we do? When we turn away from that, we reverence God for his holiness. And for his power and for his strength. And we praise him for all he's done in our life. God is without question and without doubt the most needed thing in this world. In the lives of people today, it is not money, it is not food, it is not shelter. While all these things are important, it is none of these things. The most important thing is the Lord Jesus Christ living in one's heart. They need God more than anything. My question to you this morning is, do you know him? Let's all stand. If you would, sister would come and play a verse of song. Do you know him personally? Do you know him?